Hey, good morning to Wednesday Chapel. I have the privilege to partner today with Monique Meck, who is Monique is a senior nursing major at Apella, Iowa. And Monique is going to read our scripture today from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11.
Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. The Apostle Paul uses the preposition through seven times in those 11 verses. Now, I learned early on in my seminary training that any time that a word is repeated in close proximity in Scripture, the weight of that word is increased every time it's repeated. Meaning, if it's repeated one time, it's an indication that this is something to take note of. If it's repeated two times, it's an indication that this is really important. So when the Apostle Paul uses the word through seven times in 11 verses, he is indicating that this is just not something to take note of or is important. He is saying this is an essential truth that we need to know and to live into. So the question is, what's the essential truth that the Apostle Paul is trying to convey to us in this text? Here it is. Through Jesus. Through Jesus. Through Jesus, we have peace with God, verse 1. Through Jesus, we have access to the grace of God, verse 2. Through Jesus, we are saved from the wrath of God, verse 9. Through Jesus, we are reconciled to God, and we are saved, verse 10. Through Jesus, we are experience the goodness of God, and we too can become participants of God's reconciling work in this world, verse 11. Through Jesus. Through Jesus. But how does that happen? The Apostle Paul answers that in the text as well, too, when he refers to the sacrifice or the death of Jesus five different times in these 11 verses as well. The Apostle Paul is saying it's through the sacrifice and death of Jesus that we experience all these wonderful benefits that God wants to give us. But why is Jesus' sacrifice and death so crucial? I'm so grateful for the great confessionals of the church, one of those being the Heidelberg Catechism, who answers that so well in question and answer 43. It says this, "What further advantage do we receive from Christ's sacrifice and death on the cross? Answer, through Christ's death, our old selves are crucified, put to death, buried with him, so that the evil desires of the flesh may no longer rule us, but instead we may dedicate ourselves as an offering of gratitude to him." The sacrifice and death of Jesus. Monique, I know this reality of Jesus' death and sacrifice has played a significant impact in your life, especially over the past 3 years. Share a little about that.
At the beginning of my freshman year, 3 years ago, I began to feel very distant from God, something I'd never experienced previously in my faith. I felt unsettled and fearful. I've kept prayer journals throughout my life, and in October, I wrote, "My trust in you is diminishing, for I am falling and I didn't even see the ledge I fell off of. I had always been taught that distance from God comes from sin in our lives, so I began repenting day after day after day, yet nothing changed. Unfortunately, it got worse, and in December, I wrote, "Help me, Lord. I feel so lost. I feel like a failure. I don't know how I got so far gone, for you say that nothing and no one is out of your reach." I knew the truth, but it became harder and harder to cling to as Satan's lies began to fill my head and heart. Coming back from Christmas break, I expected everything to be better, that what I was experiencing was just adjusting to being away at college. But instead, I began having anxiety attacks and was physically affected by the fear that was crippling me. I began to wonder what was wrong with me, and what was inside me scared me. I believed I was left out, alone, and unloved, even with so many people in my life that loved me deeply. A cloud set in, and I couldn't see the good that filled my life, and believed the lie that I was unworthy of the Lord's love, that I had somehow caused my own sorrow, and therefore beyond his redemption. All the efforts I made to fix things seemed to do nothing. In March, I wrote, "I feel so deep in sin. Save me, Lord. It's easy for me to think I'm beyond redemption, that I've gotten worse and worse, and I'm too far gone. I'm a mess. It's hard for me to sit here and be with you. I feel so much shame. It's difficult for me to understand why you made me. I feel mud-coated, ugly, broken, and so unworthy, and here I am wasting your time, Lord. What's wrong with me? I need you. Help." It was hard for me to sort out the light from the dark. What was sin? Was God good? Why was he letting this happen? Did he really love me, and why would he? Numbness then crept in, and my days are a blur. I didn't know how to escape, and the fullness of the weight of depression and hopelessness settled in. My last foothold felt as if it was ripped away on April 23rd, Good Friday. Every lie I believed compiled upon me. Alone in the dorms, as everyone had left since it was Easter weekend, I felt completely abandoned, unnecessary, and burdensome. I didn't see a point in life. I had no hope and value. Satan filled my head with more and more lies, and I wasn't able to remember how to pray or how to worship. I had forgotten everything. I felt helpless and hopeless, and at that point, I wanted to end my life, and I almost did that night.
So what happened next? He can't leave us there.
Somehow the Lord helped me keep breathing, and I got through that night. Mm-hmm. In the morning, I had many of the same thoughts and feelings, so I went to visit my friend Liz, knowing that I needed help desperately. During our conversation, she wrote our words down on note cards. My favorite says this: "You don't have to be defined by who you were. In Christ, you can have a new life and know what joy is." I began to see that I had spent so much time trying to die to myself to somehow make myself appear worthy before God, but it wasn't working. I lost sight of the life that we have through the cross. This realization came fully the next morning on Easter, the day our Savior rose, displaying his victory over death, darkness, and despair. We went to a sunrise service, and I was completely overwhelmed with the grace Jesus had for me. He was rescuing me, for he promises that nothing can separate us from his love, and nothing could. He was still with me. That day, I had the first taste of joy I'd had since September. This joy began growing, and a few days later, I wrote this: "Thank you, Jesus, for joy and for life, for hope. I have received joy from you once again, what I have been asking for and praying for. This joy is not from these circumstances and not even from me. I thank you that I can rejoice again in who you are and who you have made me to be. For through the law, I have died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This joy did not fix all of my struggles, but it gave me the courage to begin the process of healing with the Lord, to know and believe that I belong to him and nothing can ever change that. He's helped me identify the lies I believed, but it's been a journey, and even today I still wrestle with many of the same thoughts and feelings. And I now have hope in knowing that I got that close to death and was still not out of his reach. He had already died in our place, displaying his unfailing love while we were weak, while we were still sinners. He knows exactly what pain, suffering, darkness, and despair feels like, and he is present with us even in our most difficult struggles. He is with us.
Interesting. Monique, as you share that, I caught it was on Good Friday that you almost took your life, and yet it was on Good Friday that Jesus gave his life. That's kind of an interesting thought.
On Good Friday, Christ died for us. At that point, it was not about my own sin. We are called to set our eyes not on ourselves, but on that cross. And the cross says we are free from doing enough, from being enough. We are free from depending on our thoughts and our feelings and what we can see. We are free because Jesus said, "It is finished," the hour of his death. Through his death, we have life in every way, and the Lord has saved my life, and he saved yours too. And I don't have all the answers. I can't fix your problems, because emerging from these times can take years of depending on Christ day after day and seeking out people to walk with you in the midst of darkness. But I'm here to tell you that there is no darkness Christ cannot reach, no pain Christ cannot heal. God is with you no matter what it feels like. Trust him. Trust him when he has said he has risen. Through his resurrection, you are worthy, you are valuable, you are loved, and you are not alone.
Monique, I'm guessing there's somebody out there who was just like you 3 years ago. It's somebody who is kind of in a place of depression, of despair, who is in a season of hopelessness right now. And your word, through Jesus speaking through you, especially at the end, you are loved, you are valued. There is no darkness that God cannot reach into. If there is anybody like that afterwards, will you stick around?
Yes.
I'll stick around too. And if anybody just needs to talk or to pray about it, we'll be up front to do that. Hey, would you close us out? Thanks for your good, faithful witness.
Jesus, thank you for your death. Thank you for your cross. Thank you for your resurrection. Lord, would we believe in that and cling to that hope even in our darkest moments? Would we know who you are, that you are good, that you are faithful, that you are all-powerful? Would we trust your word above the lies in our head? And would we cling to your truth no matter what? Would we know that we are loved, that we are valuable, and that we belong to you?
Yes.
Bless these people, Lord, with life. In your name, Jesus. Amen.